the Ruin Dits catch-up for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. $2.9 million grand prize. Visit homelottery.com.au.
104.7 Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
Lehman.
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Hello on this Monday morning.
Lemo.
Hey, g'day, guys. Hey, are you two alrighty? Okay. Do you need a bloody cuddle?
We're a bit down in the gob. Our footy teams are nearly knocked out. Crows are and Port are, you know, on the ropes.
Yeah, you're a bit flat. You're a bit flat. We'll get to Port in just a sec, but can we start with the Crows? Dits, I've got a question for you. Would you say that the Crows are a tough side?
No.
Would you describe them as a tough side?
No. How do you describe tough?
Well, Roo, let me ask you. You're on the board there. You love your club, obviously. Mm-hmm. Would you say you're a tough team? The boys are a bunch of hard units?
I don't think they're known as tough, no. I don't think they'd be known as tough.
But you like to think
skillful.
Skillful.
Yeah.
But you like to think they're a fairly resilient bunch.
Oh, I think they're a very resilient bunch.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, great. Were you watching the game on the weekend?
Most of it, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see, because it was in Canberra and it was a bit cold, did you see the little heaters they had by the bench there to keep the players warm on the sidelines?
What did they have, little heaters?
Just to warm up the little handies while they were on the side there, because it's always a little bit cold. What, couldn't you get electric blankets over to the Canberra to put on their knees while they sat on the bench?
They poured out a microwave on their side last week. You remember
hey, don't worry, we're getting to Port. I mean, seriously, Rick. What did your players ask if they could wear tracksuit pants out on the ground and weren't allowed by the AFL?
1 degree. Limo.
Did you leave your woolen gloves and your beanies at home?
Oh, come on.
They wanted to play in Kathmandu puffer jackets, but they weren't. They got knocked back.
Oh, unbelievable. I'll tell you what.
Couldn't fit it in the soft cap, 22 times 400 bucks.
There it is. I would have given them a cuddle on the sidelines, Rude. Yeah. You know what? That SAS-style pre-season camp's really paying dividends, isn't it?
Come on, Limo. Don't rub it in.
No, it was, mate. You know, I know a couple of boys in the SAS. They used to say that when they're on patrol in Afghanistan in the winter, they'd run an extension cord from the base to have a heater with them.
Mm. Yeah, really.
While they're out on patrol.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, winning the mind games there. What would... What would Neil Curley think about heaters on the bench?
Come on. You don't need a bloody heater. What's wrong with you? Come on.
And I believe the Crows' rotations were down because the players were busy warming their hands.
Come on. You can't kick. We've just been knocked out of the finals, Limo.
I think it's hilarious. What about your lot carrying a microwave out into the centre circle? Come on. Out into the huddle.
That's bloody ingenious.
Funny. That is funny.
Ingenious. Do you reckon Foss Williams had a heat pack back in the day, mate? No, he bloody got on with it. That's what he did.
Hawthorn. I wish I could have something to come back at you about it, mate.
The Hawks, I'll tell you what, we hung in there on the weekend. Oh, there was a point in the last quarter. I thought, geez, we're going to get done by 4 goals here, but we managed to hang on. Thankfully, I can sometimes be a negative fan. Yeah. Hey, remember last week I played the Bulldogs singing their club song for you?
There was
excessive wooing. Let's have a little listen to some of the wooing. There we go. Can you believe it, Ron?
Yeah.
So this week it's the turn of the West Coast Eagles. Have a listen to this.
The Eagles.
I swear, listen out for the individual wooer here.
We're the big guns, he's on the big gun. We're Eagles, we're flying high. Woo!
Yeah, no place for that in footy.
Seriously.
Need to find out who's got the high-pitched voice there, Limo.
That's
got
to be someone's daughter, surely. That cannot be an AFL footballer. No. Can we hear that one more time? That can't be an AFL footballer.
Very hot.
Oh, that is someone
very high pitched.
They desperately need their crackers to drop, whoever that is.
Yeah, that is strange.
I go. Gary Megan, did I read this correctly? Is he a South Australian tourism ambassador, Gary from the
Well, he thinks he is, but he's not sure because he doesn't know anything about the joint. Is this what you've read?
Yes.
Hmm.
He doesn't know what a fruchock is.
Nah.
You've got to be kidding me. This is Gary Megan from Melbourne.
Just a bloke that looks like Lawrence Mooney. Is that the same bloke?
That is the single greatest insult Gary Megan has ever had.
Moons is not happy about it. Moons was sitting in a pool bar in Bali or something, and the bloke said, "I know you. You're the bloke off MasterChef."
I'll tell you, the difference between the two is that Lawrence Mooney knows what a bloody fruit chock is. I mean, seriously, that's like a New South Wales ambassador not knowing the Harbour Bridge. Or a New York ambassador not knowing the Empire State Building. Yeah. Or some or a Gold Coast ambassador not knowing where Schoolies is. It is a joke, guys, yeah. And I'm not happy about
no,
it.
No, I'm not happy either. Yeah.
Moons has had fruit chocks thrown at him at his gigs here in the fringe. That's how he knows.
That's his standard
he
procedure.
He just opens his mouth and takes it.
Good on you, Levo.
Good on you, guys.
Speak later
Stay
in the week.
There's only one
Anthony Lehman ruined it here on Triple M. I think most people have seen the pictures. It's sure. In the paper and it's online.
Yeah.
It went viral. This is the Mercedes parked in Kent Town.
Yep.
I reckon it's 400 grand's worth.
400 grand.
Serious car.
It's absolutely serious car. Massive and only a new one. But a young woman believed to be aged in her 20s smashed up the car with a baseball bat after spray painting the words cheater, man whore, and all sorts of things on the car.
On the, yep, door panels.
And she turned up in a Mercedes G-Wagon and got out and spray painted and did all that sort of stuff.
Right.
Did the damage. One witness said that she was very calm and collected.
Sounds
like
it.
Not sure how you're calm and collected when you take a baseball bat to a Mercedes, but that's what they
said.
I want
to see her when she's upset.
Oh.
I want to see her, yeah.
Wow.
Now, can I just make one statement here? I hope he did it.
Oh, you hope she's got her facts right.
I would hope so.
I reckon if you're spray
painting. Because if he's going to cop that, he better have done it, really.
Well, I think you'd have to assume that he's been caught at least once.
Now, is it over the top? Well, you hear stories all the time and there are people that have cheated and whatever, but should you seek revenge in that way?
Oh, well, it depends what he's done, Ditz, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Depends how bad he's been.
Mm. Now, Alice has come bounding into the studio the other way.
I feel a defence coming on
now,
for the
surely
woman.
This girl faces criminal charges now, surely, for damaging property.
Well,
and
it depends
whatever.
Up to him. He might say, well, I deserve it.
Oh,
who knows?
Okay. Alice?
This girl's probably about your age, Alice, so just picture you.
Well, he probably does deserve it.
Right.
So stuff him.
So it's not over the top?
It's not over the top. If he has been as bad as she has written that he has been, I feel like he deserves it. Like, if he's got enough money, 400 grand to buy that car, he's probably got enough money to, like, fix it himself. And he's done the wrong thing.
Get a paint job, fix the mirrors up.
Or go buy a new car, whatever. Yep. But don't cheat. It's your own fault. Sorry, mate.
Okay.
I'm actually, like, so on her side. It's a joke.
And you don't even know what she's like.
I don't even know what the whole story is, but I just saw it and I thought, you know what? I love this girl.
You know what? Joel, if you are listening this morning, do not look sideways at a girl. Don't glance at a girl walking past. You're going to have your testicles in a vice.
Exactly. 133353, give us a buzz.
I don't know if you any other stories like this. You must know someone who's... Yeah. Who's sought revenge in some way. Because you do hear some classic stories, don't you?
Do you know people who have done some things similar to this? What would you do in a similar situation as well? Give us a buzz. Let's head out to Elizabeth. G'day, Dave.
How you going, Mark?
Good, how Dave.
What happened to you, Dave?
My ex-fiancée, 20-odd years ago, I came home early one morning and caught her on the job with a fella.
No.
I just quietly walked back out the house and to the car and got the brake fluid and just tipped a bit over the car and grabbed a rag and wiped it, boot the bonnet and all the panels and then went back inside and explained what's happened. And they said, "Oh, it's not what you think." I said, "Don't worry." I said to them, "I had an accident. I tripped over in the dark and splashed some oil on your car and did my best to wipe it up."
Good.
Yeah, all right, well done.
133353, give us a buzz. Is this girl right for what she's done? What would you do in this situation?
722 ruined. It's here on Triple M. This story scares me a little bit.
Well, absolutely. We're talking about a $400,000 car that's spray paint all over it and
ruined,
bashed up. And is she right to do it? Let's go to Happy Valley. G'day, Jeremy.
How you going, guys?
Good, Jeremy. What's happening?
A mate of mine, he found that his missus was cheating on him.
Mm-hmm.
He had one more night with her.
Oh, no.
And she had a bit of a complex with her sister. And whilst he was having his way, he yelled out the sister's name and then walked out the room.
Oh, right, eh? Just to make her feel bad.
No, that's
one way of coping with it, Rick.
Touchy one, this one, Dits. But anyway, we'll wait and see what happens in part B of this story. I reckon there'll be more to it. I think we'll find out more.
Can Ryder make West Coast pay? It's there. He's got it. So we're out to a 28-point margin, game high. The Eagles go back inside 50. Oh, big fly, Ryan. That's one of the best you'll see. Liam Ryan, kick on the way is sensational. He's got the goal. The Eagles go inside 50. Oh, McGovern.
He's been able to kick out the siren.
So McGovern, siren has sounded. McGovern kicks to the city end.
He's got it.
Oh, lightning strikes twice. And the Eagles have won.
It's hurt us, but it won't kill us. We'll keep coming. And that's what we'll do. We'll attack the next 2 weeks. But it's critical that we get over this and get on with it because we've got a season to play for.
Sure have. It's going to be tough, though, without Charlie Dixon because any other time Charlie's been out of the forward line, they just look rudderless, don't they, up there without Charlie as the main man. But you never know. They need to adapt. They've got no choice because he's broken his leg. So, which reports come out yesterday? I don't know. I thought it was just an ankle when it happened. But so they're going to have to change that forward line. They'll have to go small. They'll have to rely on Robbie Gray, or they'll have to get Jack Watts to perform without Charlie Dixon around him. They're going to have to shift up a forward line and do something fresh. And that's what other sides have done when they've had injuries to key players. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But unless they do something new, Port Adelaide are going to really struggle to win a game the next 2 weeks. So this is a big job for Ken Hinckley and the coaches
group. Well,
Ryder's
out too, so...
That's right.
Maybe for a week. But that's the other thing. It's about reshuffling now as well, isn't it? Does Hoff have to go in and do the ruck work? Does Dougal Howard have to come into the ruck? And so then you're short down back, and, yeah, it's the reshuffling that's probably going to hurt as well.
Yeah, so not good for Port fans.
I thought they played pretty well, actually, until they lost the game. Mm. I thought they were going all right. The start was incredible, 4-1 to nothing.
Yep.
So they jumped out of the blocks. In the end... When you've got no rotations, we've spun at this before, it's not just because it's Port Adelaide, but if you can't rotate off the bench, you're going to run out of steam.
They were under attack, Dits, there's no doubt about it. They did get goals early. West Coast blew chances in the first line. Their kicks inside 50 really hurt them. And in the second and third quarters, West Coast actually had a lot of the play. It was 34 inside 50s to 22 in the second and third quarters, and they just couldn't kick straight and couldn't capitalise on their opportunities. And then the injuries just... blew them apart, and they did pretty well to hold on Port. West Coast couldn't take the chances again early in the last quarter, and then they just got too late. So not good, and you just think that Port Adelaide without Charlie Dixon and, you know, depending on what happens with Wright, are just not a side capable of doing any damage in September if they get there. So it's a real abrupt finish. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but maybe they can surprise everyone. Mm. Who knows? We'll wait and see. Crows, on the other hand, had opportunities up in in Canberra, it was, to keep their season alive, but just weren't good enough in the end, Dits. GWS were a very good side. They moved the ball well, and they got a lot of stars, and they were just a bit too good for Adelaide in the end. So Adelaide not good enough. It's been one of those years. They've, you know, got far too far behind in terms of where they want to be on the ladder. And in the end, they didn't have enough room for any slip-ups. And they were beaten by a better side, I thought, Saturday night.
Is Tex in trouble?
The Tex, well, you know what? I reckon
it's... I don't think he is.
I reckon it's borderline. Like, I didn't think it wasn't a... It wasn't a dump tackle, like it wasn't a spear tackle. He was in the motion of tackling him and sort of swinging him around when it happened. I actually think it was one of the unfortunate instances in football where you get injured. I didn't think it was a dirty tackle.
Mm.
It was 50-50, I reckon.
No, I'm with you.
I don't think it was. It was very different to when Robbie Gray got knocked out. Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah, he certainly didn't, you know, he got booed because it was over their ground, but I didn't think it was a rough tackle. So wait and see what happens. You'll probably get games.
Yeah, I want to make a statement here. People will laugh, but and Port Adelaide's still got plenty to play for. We've got two games to win and hopefully play finals. But right now, what I saw the other night, both Port Adelaide and the Crows, I think the squads are looking very good for next year. I really do.
Yeah.
You've had your issues with injuries all year. I'm extremely confident
the Crows
and
will
I'm
liking
back. The young players that Port have introduced this year. I actually like our squad.
What players do you like?
I like Leanert. I like Farrell.
Yep.
Houston has grown enormously as a player. He's become a real good player.
Yep.
I just think there's a young group coming together that's... anyway, I like what I see. I like Dougal Howard. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Yep.
I think there's enough to get excited.
Todd Marshall to come through.
I reckon there's enough to get excited about.
Yep. I'm very confident about next year, but just don't like talking about that with a couple of rounds to go in the home and away series, which is reality. And both players from both clubs need to kick up the backside if they're going to be better next year.
All right. That's how Roo saw the footy on the weekend. Roo and Ditts here on Triple M. Tex Walker. Will he miss the rest of the season?
Well, I don't really know what's going to happen, Dits. It was a touchy one. It was 50-50 whether it was holding the ball or a free kick against. Let's have a listen to the Triple M call.
Kelly at the back. Tex Walker, great tackle. That's holding the footy, surely. Oh, no, it's holding the footy. One umpire has said holding the footy.
That's a joke.
And the other umpire has said dangerous tackle.
Yeah, they did call holding the ball, and then they overruled and said it was a dangerous tackle. That's how much of a fine line it was, and it'll be interesting to see what happens at the tribunal. You know, I hope he gets off, and I can understand if he gets off, but I can easily understand how they're going to ping him now with where it is in footy. But that's sort of a bit of a side issue now, unfortunately, for the Crows, because they're probably, they're done in terms of making the eight. And that's the story, really, isn't it, Dits? Haven't made the finals.
Yep.
They were in a grand final last year. That doesn't happen all that often, that you can be, so good one year and poor the next. But they just need to have a absolutely brilliant off-season. They need to get fit. They need to get their players that have had injuries, like Tex, need to get their bodies right and get fit. And if they do that, I'm very, very confident they can be a contender to win it in 2019. But they need to have a great off-season. They've got the cattle there. They've got the coaches. They've got everything. They just need to get fit, and they'll get in form.
Roo, Port Adelaide, I actually liked the way we played for most of it the other night. I thought we looked good, especially early. And this is an excuse, but I thought in the end it was the injuries. We didn't have any rotations. I thought that's what cost us in the end.
Yep, I think definitely had a fair part to do with it. There's no doubt about it, Dits. I think the West Coast played good footy, though, for second and third quarters. They just couldn't score. And even in the first quarter, it was just their entries inside the forward 50 that cost them. But... yeah, it was unfortunate when Charlie Dixon and Dan Houston collided.
And the ball spills to Duggan. And big clash here. Archie and Jonas have crashed into each other. Both of them down. Jonas, actually it's Houston.
Dixon on the other side.
Dixon is down holding his leg.
Real issues. The trainer's calling straight for the bench at the moment. The game's going to be stopped. Two Port Adelaide players at the moment have not moved.
So it came out yesterday that Charlie Dixon's got a broken leg.
Yep, it's very, very nice.
So Ken Hinckley said he obviously will not play for the rest of the year if he's got that. Paddy Ryder, some chance to get back with a hip flexor that he's had issues with before. They are going to have a makeshift forward line and a makeshift ruck set up now. Other sides have done it, going small in the forward line. Which Port are going to have to do. They're going to have to come up with something different. Jack Watts is going to have to step up a little bit. And obviously Robbie Gray, they are super reliant on Robbie to be able to kick a winning score. But going to be very, very hard for Port to either beat Collingwood or Essendon in the next 2 weeks. But silly things have happened. There's no doubt about it.
We can beat them.
Sometimes when you've got injuries, you dig deep and you find something.
Now, from what you saw over the weekend or over the last couple of weeks, can GWS challenge Richmond?
Absolutely. They could, yep. Yeah, if they can get their right players back. And, absolutely. They're probably the main contender.
Mm.
Really. I mean, if you have a look at the others, Melbourne got rolled again. They're zipping seven against top eight sides this year.
Yep.
Collingwood have got injuries. Port have got injuries. West Coast have got injuries. I'm not sure if there's anyone else there that can really... have a crack at them. Hawthorn, I'm not sure if they're good enough. Not sure if Sydney are good enough. It's Richmond and daylight.
Might be.
But there's a long way to go.
Yep.
Like you only need one clash like Dixon and Houston or Ryder and to Jack Riewoldt or Dusty Martin treat Conchon and it's she's open season.
Yeah, all right, that's how Roo saw the footy on the weekend. Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Triple M, Roo, we like to think we're a show for the people on a Monday. We love to open up the phone lines, don't we?
And sure do.
Let anyone ring in.
Looks like we've got a few callers today as well, Dits. Hello, good morning.
G'day, this is John Farnham.
Fonzie! How are you?
How are you, boys, mate? Hey,
you've had a big week.
Mate, it was a real privilege, and Glenn said I should do it, and she asked me, she Celine Dion, I performed with her, mate, and she's a talent, and it was a great thrill, really was.
I saw that, yeah, that was big, huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, but when she first came on the scene, Glenn, they said Celine Dion's coming to Australia. Glenn thought it was a tile cleaner, you know, make your tiles shiny with Celine Dion.
What?
Anyway, mate, I just want to say, Glenn says that if you're doing the one night in September, I might be available, mate.
Oh, right. Okay. Another comeback.
We've actually got the Screaming Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love them too, but, you know, if you want me to perform something with them, you know, I am available. And Glenn has just asked if we could have, you know, if you could have maybe the Fonzie here, Fonzie, once a week workday on Triple M, mate.
All right, look, we'll put it to the music director and see how we go. All right, thanks, Fonzie. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next call. Hello, good morning.
Hey, good day, boys.
Tex.
Oh, Tex.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. Look, I thought it was a fair tackle.
Yeah, I thought it was borderline, Tex.
Yeah, we're behind you.
Been a tough year.
Oh, I know. And that, what are they saying? Sling tackle, are they? Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, is that because he ends up in a sling? Or?
Yeah. No. Because he might.
No,
he might,
no. Yeah. It's the action of you slinging him to the ground is why they call it a sling tackle.
I saw him leave the ground there. He wasn't in a sling at all.
No. He was in a dazed and confused state.
So otherwise, it would be called a stretcher's tackle, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, anyway, boys, it's been an interesting year, but I reckon I'll get off. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think you get off.
I think it's going to be tight, mate.
Yeah.
Am I coming in tomorrow?
Yeah. Don't go into hiding. We want you to come in.
Yeah, all right. Hey, did you hear about what happened when the bloke that invented the crossword died?
No.
No.
They buried him 3 down and 4 across.
Right. Okay. All right. I like that one, Tex. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Might need a few jokes.
See you, boys.
See you, mate.
All right, hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
That's not you, Wally, is it?
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, no.
Falling asleep.
Wally.
It's what? Hello?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, you're on. Triple M.
Hello, it's Wally from Woodville.
G'day, Wally.
I know your voice, Wally. Yeah.
Long-time caller, first-time caller.
Right. No, you've called before, Wally. Yeah. You're Wally.
Right. What would you like to talk about, Wally?
Could I leave a message with management?
Yeah, sure. Yep.
I just want to say congratulations to them. Their decision to keep the sign Jars and Louie on for the next 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll pass that on. That was a good decision.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Wally. Thank you.
What's been happening, Wally?
No, don't ask him, please. Don't ask him. Move on. Yeah, let's. We got time for one. And God, get rid of me. Time for one more call. Hello. Good morning.
Hello, Rob Boy. Hello, Big Ginger Nut.
Tommy Tai Chi. How are you?
I know that. I hear your football team has finished for both of you for that season. You know that.
Hang on, not for Port Adelaide just yet. We're not finished. But
I hear that they're gone. You know, so what you boys should do now, you come down for Mad Monday. What you do today, you come down for Mad Monday for end of season. I put big banquet on.
Yeah.
Not best year for you two, but you know, you come down and Tommy make you happy again.
Okay.
I'd enjoy that.
All right, well, you come, you know where I am, down in Goodyear Street. It may become Naked Street one day. Naked Street.
I know. I see that, yeah.
Naked Tommy's.
Anyway, boys, it's my uncle used to say, you know, getting sick at the airport means it could be a terminal illness.
It could be a terminal illness.
Yeah. Your uncle was Confucius, was he?
See you, little boy. See you, Ginger Nuts.
See you, Tommy. Tommy Tai Chi. Love his restaurant down in Goodger Street.
Might have to take him up on
a bit
that
early for Mad Monday. We'll do that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
6:52, Ruined. It's here on Triple M on this Monday morning. Rue, Naked Streets.
Yeah, what does
that mean? That's the headline this morning in the paper. In the Advertiser, a story about making our streets naked. Now, what does that mean exactly? This is an idea put forward, or it will be put forward, by Adelaide City Councillor Sandy Wilkinson. He joins us. Sandy, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Tell me, what is a naked street?
A naked street is a street with a minimum amount of line marking and signage on it.
Right.
So there's a photograph in the Advertiser of Stanley Street in North Adelaide, which is a street which has been done in the naked streets approach, where there's no line down the middle of the road and there's not excessive bike lane or parking lines and things like that.
Well, what do? Just use your brains based on all the road rules and rely on people remembering them and not needed to be prompt or anything like that?
Well, that's exactly it. If you need a line down the middle of the road to know to drive on the left-hand side, you probably shouldn't be on the road.
So why do we have them then?
I think it's engineers being excessive in terms of their sort of safety provisions and assuming that people don't have a brain.
Sandy, why is this so important to you? I mean, whether there were dotted white lines down the middle of a road or not, it's not going to change my life. Why is it important to you?
Because it just ruins the look of residential streets that, you know, could look like the one in the photograph.
Yep.
But look more like a children's toy set.
With signs and lines and bits and pieces. What about for Hindley Street? There's also some talk about changing what vehicles and different bits and pieces that could go down some of the city streets.
Well, I think Hindley Street has moved to look at making that one way and widen the footpaths and things, which is a different sort of issue. But I'm generally about trying to make the streets look better, and all of this clutter of line marking and signage is often needless. Sometimes you've got two signs pointing to one spot saying no standing, or you've got a meter angle parking, you've got a meter where a car won't fit, and there's a sign saying no standing. Well, you know, no shit, Sherlock. Right? you can see, excuse the French, but, you know, sometimes the signage is just pointing out the bleeding obvious.
Yeah, yeah. Sandy, I must admit, when I see bike lanes on some streets they haven't painted, and then all of a sudden the road gets tighter, and all of a sudden it just disappears. Mm. And I don't know what bikes are meant to do.
Oh, you got to stop right there.
Cars are meant to do at that point.
You have to
stop
and not go any further.
That always makes me laugh when we get that part on the road.
When they become inconvenient, they have a road to nowhere.
Exactly. So in a naked street, there'll still be parking signs, I take it, but you just want to get rid of the useless ones.
Yeah, I mean, you can have one sign indicating what parking regime on an area is. You don't need, you know, two of them, particularly when there's only one spot.
Right. Now, are you getting a bit of support for this idea?
A lot of people like the idea of having just better looking streets and without all this excessive line marking.
Hmm. All right. Interesting concept. Sandy, thanks for joining us this morning. He's Adelaide City Councillor Sandy Wilkinson. Mm. What do you think, Roo?
I don't mind actually having to use your brain. Yep. Mm. I think he makes a point when there's too many things on the road. I don't even know what half the things are. So, I reckon he could have a point there.
Now, this is totally unrelated, but it makes me think of this too. I want to take this back to footy. Do you ever think when you watch it, because I'm sick of seeing how many things clutter our TV screens now, you know, what we call supers, but graphics, I guess, would be a better way to describe it.
Right.
So a bloke takes a mark and he's kicking for goal. And you then swing around and we're now watching from behind him.
Well, you see the history of him.
No. I'm saying the camera angle now is we're now behind the player watching him run towards goal, and it says reverse angle. I go, oh, yeah, thanks for that. No, that's true.
That is strange, isn't
no,
it?
No, seriously, do we need to be told that, do we? Nah. Which is what Sandy's saying in a street. Well, you can't park there. Well, we know there's only a metre wide bloody spot. Of course you can't park there.
No. Yeah. No, good point. I'll keep an eye on that one.
Useless signs, bro. Hopeless. 8:07, Ruined. It's here on Triple M. What's going on, Ruined?
There's calls for tougher laws, Ditzer, for kids carrying weapons into schools at the moment. We know we've had a couple of real serious issues in Adelaide, over, you know, just recently with stabbings from girls in school grounds. Mm. But they've actually found a lot more weapons on school properties, Dits, over the last 12 months. 52 times they've either found knives or machetes or swords or scissors or something like that in
machetes
schools.
Machetes at school?
Yep, in 2017. That's up from 33. So we're not far off doubling the amount of people that have been caught in possession of dangerous weapons in schools, which just baffles me. I know I go on about this, Dits. Why people would even think about stabbing people, certainly at that age as well, you know, let alone as an adult, but as a teenager in schools, how they could plan to be taking these things to school and then planning to do something and then actually follow through with it just absolutely baffles me. But it's happening too much. There was another stabbing in Hindley Street on the weekend. It's just happening more and more out in society. And I really do think that schools, for one, but in general, people who choose to go down that path and do stabbings need to have a lot more of a serious offence attached to it. There needs to be a bigger penalty for either doing it or thinking about doing it. It's just, I don't know, I just cannot think why they would go down that track.
What sort of person decides, I'm going out Saturday night, I'll make sure I've got a knife on my body somewhere? I don't understand that at all.
No. You could make a case for it nearly to be in the same category as a gun.
Of course it is. See, it's much easier for people to get a knife than a gun, isn't it? So that's probably why now it's the weapon of choice.
Yeah, but why are they feeling like they're in that bad a state that they need to take that to school?
Don't know.
Well, I mean, what is happening that is so bad at school that you need to think you need to defend yourself with a knife?
And if you're a parent in that situation, I think to hear that your son or daughter has been stabbed would be one of the most frightening things you would ever hear in your life. I just can't fathom
it. Well, it's nearly double the amount of instances knives and machete, swords, scissors have been found on school grounds in the last 12 months.
Mm. So are we at the point now, Roo, where we need metal detectors for our schools?
Well,
I mean, how crazy is this?
You wouldn't think so. You would
Sounds
not...
like we do, though.
I don't know, but we need to deter kids from getting involved in this.
Mm.
Do we have to have more serious penalties for them if they're found with them? I don't know. Something's got to change because it's going in the wrong direction.
133353. I'm keen to hear from school teachers here, Roo. Are there weapons, you know, en masse out there in our schools? Are you confiscating weapons all the time? Do we need to do checks? Do we need, I don't know, security on school gates, checking bags?
Well, what do parents think? What do we need to do? Because, you know, do we need stiffer penalties for these people? I mean, what happens with them
yes.
at the moment? Yeah, I'd like to know what happens with those 52 people that were caught with these in possession of them. They get a slap on the wrist?
Don't know. Good question, though.
We should be...
need to know that our kids are going to school and they're safe in the schoolyard.
Yep.
You shouldn't have to get a phone call to say, oh, sorry, but your child's been stabbed today. That's just outrageous.
Well, imagine getting it saying your child's taking a knife to school as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be good. 133353. We'd love to hear from, as I said, teachers or parents. Tell us what's going on in the schoolyards out there. Weapons in schools. What's going on?
Yeah, it's nearly double the amount, Dits. Is it what's? Is it the kids? Is it the reason why? What's happening at schools? Why are they causing it? And why are they following through and actually stabbing people and threatening to do it at school? It's a bit strange. Let's go to Modbury. G'day, Maria.
Hello. How are you?
What do you think about it?
I think maybe it's on the increase because obviously, you know, you can imagine like three people having weapons in your classroom and they have like the upper edge over other kids that don't. So maybe the kids that don't bring something in may feel slightly threatened, whether they're the person that bullies or gets picked on.
Well, you reckon other people know that people have got weapons at school?
Yeah, I reckon they would.
Gee. Well, wouldn't say anything.
No, I don't think they would because then they'd probably think that they'd be a target to get bullied on.
So you reckon people know that other kids have got a knife or something at school and don't say anything?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah.
Far out.
My son goes to a private school and I know they're pretty strict and if someone got caught with a weapon, they'd be thrown out of the school.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Are we too soft on other kids that
expect,
get caught?
What's that, sorry?
Are we too soft on other kids that have been caught in the past or do you...
Oh. I think they should be expelled straight away.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason why they have to be bringing a weapon in or using a weapon or having to think they need a weapon to protect themselves.
No, but, I wouldn't have thought so. No. Far out.
All right, thanks, Maria.
Let's go to Ingle Farm. G'day, Martin.
Hello.
Hello, Martin.
How you going, everybody?
Yeah, all right? Well, yep.
I'll tell you what one of the problems are. Is there's too many lawyers in this world protecting these kids, twisting things around. They go up to the judges and everything. Oh, this poor boy, this poor girl, he's had a hard life. Back in my day, we sorted it out in the schoolyard. We had a good punch-up or something like that, and it was over. Now, you know, these kids bringing knives to school, you know, they know damn well we could kill someone. As far as I'm concerned, a lot of the lawyers, they're protecting these kids.
All right. Thanks, Martin. That's one point of view.
Let's go to Strathalbyn. What do you think, Shane?
Yeah, how you going, guys? Yeah, look, sort of in between the two last callers, I'm a new parent, and I know for a fact when I was a kid, and I'm talking a teenager that was a bit ratty and all over the place, I got into shoplifting. Luckily, my parents managed to absolutely scare the living daylights out of me by dragging me on a Sunday morning to our local police station, and I remember to the day I was that petrified, shit scared, that I never wanted to even go down that track again.
Did they take you inside, or what did they do, or just drive you to the front door?
Yeah, took me inside and showed me, and again, I'm talking 25 years ago when a country cop station had maybe one cell there, and obviously I don't think anyone was in it from memory, but it was just the thought of it, you know, seeing the police officer with the gun and the badge. And look, I know there's a fine line in society these days about punishment of your kids, but a bit like that last caller, I grew up in an era where I was smacked. Now, I've got a little daughter, I wouldn't smack her, but I think you have to get to a certain point where smacking, and again, I don't know if that's the, I don't think that is the answer, but yeah, there's a very fine line about the right and wrong, and I think, yeah, like that last caller said, there's a system in place that is very soft, and it's probably, there's people thinking they can get away with it, and they're using the system almost to their advantage.
Yep. Shane, you hit on one thing, Roo, there, that kids now just aren't scared of police. God, when I was a kid, we respected them so much.
They're not scared of police?
Nah, they're not. Not
Come
now.
On.
They're not.
When what do you mean they're not scared of police?
We hear it all the time. The kids now don't have the respect for police that we did when we were young.
Oh, I don't agree with you there.
All right.
You don't reckon kids respect police in South Australia?
Not like we used to. No way.
Really?
Mm.
God. You have to, surely. I don't know. How could you get brought up to not respect police?
Well, it comes back to parenting and where you live, I suppose.
Oh, God. Anonymous caller, what do you think?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Look, I'll give you a scenario that's happened in a private school in an Adelaide suburb just the last few weeks, where a student has been forced to eat feces.
A what?
Yeah, exactly.
A kid was forced to eat feces, did you say?
Exactly right, yes, where they've pooed in their own hands basically and made a kid eat it, but also where they've got the
Who blood. Did that? Another student made a student do it?
Two students have made another student do it.
Yeah.
But also where they've got his lunch at a later stage and put it in the toilet, urinated on it and made him eat it.
Oh, yeah, and what happened?
They've been removed from the school, but my point is, I mean, I understand kids can't defend, certain kids can't defend themselves. I don't think they realise the incidents if they have a knife and what they do with it when they take it to school.
Okay.
Well, look, that sounds like a shocking, isolated incident, and you report that they've been removed from the school. That's the best thing they can do. But
are kids less disciplined than before? Do you think our kids are worse, you know, not as well behaved as what they used to be?
Yeah, well, I just said to you a moment ago, our kids don't respect police. Look, when I was young, we had a sergeant of police live across the road, and every time I saw him come home in his car, I'd shudder. I'd run inside and think,
what you've done.
No, well, maybe. But you see, the reason I'm saying they don't respect police, Roo, is on the news services, and we know there are certain suburbs out there where kids are just, you know, breaking the law every day of their lives and are repeat offenders, they do not care. They're not scared. I was scared of my parents for a start, then the police, my school teachers, everybody.
Yeah, or you respected them as well.
Kids now, hear the way that kids talk to adults now and to school teachers. So it's outrageous,
I think we're too soft on them from the day they're born.
Well, how are we gonna, I know, but how are we going to turn that around?
Well, it's, you know, the way we teach in schools for starters. I think
we're getting off topic. We're talking about knives and weapons here before, but everything we're talking about now actually leads to parents listening this morning, and 90% of them would be guilty of ringing the school or going to the school and saying, don't pick on my kid, or don't talk to my kid like that. I'm talking to the teachers here. Whereas when I was a kid, my parents actually went to parent-teacher night and said, be harder on him. Get the strap out and hit him. If he mucks up, hit him. Now, at sport,
but they go to teachers'
why is my
college
kid on the bench?
And they get told they're not allowed to do anything. So you'd be taking away, people wouldn't be following.
But we need to change it.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can now. It's too late. But like I said,
you can turn it back around. You have to.
How many parents complain on a weekly basis about, why is my son on the bench?
Mm. Well, you just tell them straight out. That's what you should do as a coach.
Yeah, but you can't, can you?
Who says you can't?
Well, like I said, in my day, if I was on the bench, the old man would say, well, bloody train harder, play better.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that was the end of the story.
Yep. No, it's definitely interesting times, Dits, for sure.
September. Last year it was legendary. This year it'll be even better.
Hey, Roo, we are sold out for the top categories here. We're talking about, reserve seating and you can sit down and have a meal and all of that sort of thing.
Yep.
Premium seating sold out.
But we have got general admission seating still available, which is great news. And they're only $25 each, those tickets. So get on board and get in fast, because Lawrence Mooney has confirmed he's coming over to crack a few gags. We know we've got Wayne Carey and Brian Taylor, and we've also got Taylor Walker, Rory Sloane, Brad Ebert, maybe Charlie Dixon still with his broken leg, Jars and Louis, screaming Jets. So it will be an absolute huge night. It'll be a lot of fun. So you're absolutely mad if you don't want to get on board. Only $25.
You could buy Dad one of these tickets for Father's Day. $25.
Good idea. Go to triplem.com.au. This is presented by Bob Jane T-Marts, the tyre and wheel specialist. It is going to be huge. It'll be a great night. Adelaide Oval as well. So just a beautiful place to go to a function.
The Roo and Dits catch up for the Hospital Research Home Lottery. $2.9 million grand prize. Visit homelottery.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.